Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Ramble. It's Anita, and yeah, my voice is sounding a little lower and a bit raspy. My allergies are acting up. Oh, joy, I had an event. I had to go back and forth. No, this was church on Sunday. Yes, I do go to church sometimes, but at church, I was going back and forth because of my sneezing, and I didn't take medicine. I know, not the most responsible thing, but I did go to service and evening prayer yesterday, and I am here with you guys, my lovely listeners, even though my views on a serious topic will ruffle some feathers. I am pro-choice. If you look at my Facebook page and you look at my Twitter, I'm pro-choice. Because at the end of the day, I have a uterus. And I know that's like, well, there are some pro-life women who have uteruses, and you know what? That's their choice. I feel like if you want to keep a baby, okay. If you want to have 1,500, as long as you're able to take care of, do you. But this is not so much what this episode is about. This episode was actually written before this whole state's the prevalence of states trying to take women's rights. Like, I just found out the courts overturned Missouri's law about abortion. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because it is one of the biggest examples of sexism. Like, how can you say that? Because everything falls on the woman. Like, I get it. I have a uterus. I just said it. You know, I'm a cisgendered woman, so this is something that affects me, just like it would affect a pre-op trans male if he chose to keep his uterus. I know it seems like a lot, but it's true. If something happened, and that then that pre-op trans male with a uterus would be in the same boat as me when it comes to having a baby. But I can't genetically make a baby alone. So everything about this is sexist. Like, it's mostly men talking about it and writing laws. Yeah, the governor of Alabama did sign a law involving it. Pro-life my behind, because, I mean, that same week you had an execution and the health of your people who are already on earth. So I'm not that good. But most of the lawmakers were men. I'm like, what? And the sick thing is, they're the ones who can get the most, sorry, the chair squeaking behind, they can get a bunch of women pregnant. I can only get pregnant a certain amount of time in a year. Extenuating circumstances, without medication, maybe very, very extenuating, four in a year. That is extremely fertile, two sets of twins, while getting, as like before the 6 weeks healing process. That's the only way I'm going to pop out that many. A guy, one, two, three a month, depending on how many they're sleeping with. So you're monitoring me? No. But then this is another example of it. As a woman in this day and age, and then we could go to the race aspects of it, because black women make less than white women, but black women make more than women of color, but I'm not going to go down the racial aspect. I'm just going to say, as a woman, I make less than a man, but I still have to put in more work. It costs, I have to pay a pink tax, and for those who don't know, sorry, there, I was turning on the light, but for those of you who don't know what a pink tax is, for stuff I truly need, like pads, I have to pay a tax on it. It's just like toilet paper. Why am I paying this tax? And I make less to begin with. That's annoying. Because let's face it, I'm going to have to constantly buy these things every couple of months, or tampons, or menstrual cups, or whatever. But I got to pay a tax on this. But guys don't. I don't see guys having to pay like taxes on condoms or toilet paper. Because let's face it, you need condoms to be sexually responsible. And I'm not trying to teach being sexually irresponsible. I'm trying to say it's a necessity for a biological function. So therefore, it should be taxed like toilet paper, which really isn't. So there's that. There is the I work 80 hours or whatever at a job. I still have to come home and take care of the house. Oh, well, you're the woman. Okay, but I'm not the only one who lives here. Like, if I was married, it's like, I'm not the only one who lives here. What? No. Oh, well, he's a man. And as weird as it is, okay, back in the day when women were not in the workforce, just for the, and people are like, this is an obscenity, equality, I get it. He works, I would take care of the home. But I actually like working for my money, and that sounds so prostitute-like out loud, but there's something about feeling accomplished when it comes to making your own money. Whether it was my experience working in government or oil and gas, it felt really good to be able to pay stuff and not be financially dependent on a man. But back in the day, when women couldn't have checking accounts in their names, when they were married, it made sense. Okay, he works, I take care of the home. But now, we both work because another reason, sexism aside from the financial aspect, standpoint, tongue-tied, you have to have two parents working because inflation slash cost of living, it does not balance with cost of living. So due to that, both people have to work. So since both people have to work outside the home, we're both going to be at home. We're both working. So I still have to take care of the house and maybe take out the garbage. So get home, go grocery shopping, put up groceries, cook groceries, do dishes, and take out trash after working 80 hours. Because he's a man. Okay, so we're still both here working. We're both tired. And then let's say he was a stay-at-home. Okay, so that's more of an equality, but you look down on stay-at-home dads. I think people look down on stay-at-home dads more than they look at that as stay-at-home moms. And frankly, if later on down the road, I sort of think I would want to be a stay-at-home mom or at least work from home, but that's my choice. And going back to the whole child-rearing thing, I have friends with kids. And even the Chris Rock joke, you know, the dad can do the bare. Oh, he put a hat on his kid. Okay, that's the only thing you're expecting from him? His name's on the birth certificate. This child is 50% his. He actually, you know, puts this child on his income tax. Give him an award. But the mom's usually the one who is up with the sick kid or taking him to the hospital with a viral infection. I've had those viral infections that have ended up in the hospital. Not cute. The father, the woman, we could go back around to the sex rights. And, you know, so the guy sleeps around, is complimented. The woman, she's not the marrying type. Okay, so who says, I want to marry the community gigolo? And no, this is not right. So I guess the main way you can do this is to start with how you raise your sons. But then there are some women who commit emotional incest with their sons to the point where no woman's good enough. And then that's a whole other story. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And yes, I did mention the Bible because most men love to use that phrase, submit. But then they forget their job in this. Like, the woman needs to, okay, so aren't you supposed to love me the way Christ loves the church and die for me and, you know, treat my body like it's your own? I don't see a lot of guys following through with that. But that is another topic for another day. But the main thing is how the Bible is used as sexism. But I think the whole most of the stuff in the Bible is sexist because guys were sitting around drunk choosing what to go in the book. And I know that sounds bad to say, but how many women really wrote the Bible? okay, I shouldn't say how many women wrote the Bible, but how many women were editors of the Bible? I mean, even with King James. King James, oh, history lesson, because, again, my minor was in history. In even basic time, human time, Jesus was a Jew. Jesus was a Jew during the Roman Empire. So if Jesus was a Jew 1,400 years before the Bible, the King James, which is the most one of the more popular versions, was written, who's to say that's the only true word? And yes, I had somebody say the only true version of the Bible is the King James Bible. I prefer to say that one of the true versions would be a Roman, would be a Bible in Latin in the Vatican, because, again, Jesus was a Jew. Jesus was a Jew during the Roman Empire, so he either spoke on a daily Hebrew or Latin. So by default, yeah. But another thing in the Bible, men, some churches have this. Episcopals don't. And a couple other Christian denominations, men are the only people allowed to be preachers. But women have more to say. Republican, and there are some good Republicans. There are some that I truly respect, like Condoleezza Rice and Colin Powell and John McCain. But they're saying pro-life, but you don't. The biggest issue, why don't you respect the life afterwards? And then if you're saying all lives matter, why are you going to another country to kill an animal? You're not saying all human lives. You're saying all lives. So for you to go there and kill something that's mining its own, I don't care what the elephant in Africa is doing. It's like, do you? You're there. I'm here. I care about whatever's here. I mean, yeah, indirectly, I do care that the elephant is alive and healthy and blah, blah, blah. But I don't feel like getting on a plane to kill the elephant and all that other stuff. And some people would say I'm being sexist because I'm not considering men's feelings. And, you know, men have feelings. I've had to have a guy tell me that. It's like, men have feelings. Totally agree. And I guess as a female, because people accuse me of being emotional. Yeah, I do have emotional moments. But my passion, again, is another example of sexism. When a woman's passionate, it's like, oh, she's emotional. Why can't I be angry? I don't think men could tolerate the anger that comes from being female. And then, again, you could go to the down the rabbit hole of being a minority female. No, men could not deal with that. They don't want to deal with women voicing their frustrations from it. I mean, look at the whole march, women's march during Trump's inauguration. Didn't want to deal with it. Or when women act, that is just venting frustration. I have rights. And I have every right to stand up for. If a guy did that, oh, he is passionate about the cause. He can do this. Even going to the new Supreme Court Justice, Hillary, people think she's a robot, but she kept her calm during an 11-hour interrogation. Kavanaugh? No. And you can say what you want about Hillary. Some people don't like her. Some people think she's... But if she had acted the way Kavanaugh did, a lot of people would have said that is an exact reason why a woman should not hold a higher office. That's the perfect example. And this abortion thing. Women are not the only people. There may be some women, like Jeff Bezos' ex-wife, who can afford to, you know, genetically alter their stem cells and have a kid without a man. Now, in that case, yeah, everything falls on you because this child is genetically yours, and it is borderline cloning. But for most other women, you didn't reproduce alone. And I'm not even going to go to the thing about women, and, you know, poking holes and stuff. But at the end of the day, if the guy chooses to be in the child's life, then he should have a level of risk. It's equal. Don't put everything about the pregnant on the woman. That's my view. I know a lot of people don't agree with my view about pro-choice, but yeah. Anyway, I'm Anita. This is Rambles, and I hope you guys have a wonderful day. Thank you, and goodbye.